Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us. That is to say, LGBT people. But they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
You know, there's not a lot about what the voters in California do on a regular basis that I think I would recommend. But there is one thing that they did recently that I think was a very smart move, and I hope it portends things for the rest of the nation, as things in California so often do. They decided, through the vote of the electorate, to ban same-sex marriage. And they did it definitively. And there was really no doubt as to the outcome. And yet, that ban, known as Proposition 8, is under federal legal question and attack. Why? The people have spoken. And how is that federal challenge to Prop 8 going in California? We'll answer those questions here in the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest to bring us an update on the federal legal challenge to Prop 8 in California. We got some audio open lines right after that. We're going to play for you an ABC News story about a man who married a woman, a Jewish woman. He converted to Judaism because she expected it. Her parents expected it. They had a child, but they later divorced. And after this divorce, this man now says he's returned to his Roman Catholic roots, took his child and had her baptized in a Roman Catholic church. The mother did not approve. He didn't ask her permission, by the way. He just did it during one of the times he had visitation with his daughter. She got a restraining order against him. No more exposure to Christianity, only to Judaism. And then what did he do? He took her to church, this little girl. And he did it with the media watching. And the story continues. I want to know from you, after we've heard the story from ABC News, would you have done the same thing, given his position? What if you were in her position and someone, your ex, converted back to, say, his previous Mormonism and then took your daughter and had her baptized in a Mormon temple? I want to hear from you. It'll be audio open lines in 10 minutes. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. You can always Twitter us for the next hour at issuesetc. We'll talk embryo adoption with Jennifer Lall in the last 10 minutes of the program. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder and director of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I understand that the San Francisco Chronicle broke a story about Judge Von Walker in the federal legal challenge to Prop 8. What is the story?
Well, the story is that he's openly gay. And that has been an open secret in San Francisco society for some time, but evidently the powers that be in the city of San Francisco now feel confident enough that they can reveal that fact now that the trial itself, the evidence-gathering stage of the trial is over. This is the judge, for those who aren't paying attention. This is the judge in the Proposition 8 trial in the federal court there. He is the one and only one judge. You know, there's only one judge who decides it at that level, and it turns out that this particular judge, who was chosen by lot, is an openly gay man.
All right. That would not necessarily call into question his judgment on this. What about his rulings up to this point in the federal challenge against Prop 8 would call into question his objectivity on this particular challenge?
Well, Todd, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, the Ninth Circuit Court has slapped him down not once but twice, and the Supreme Court upheld the rulings of the Ninth Circuit. So the issues in those cases were things that had to do with pretrial and conduct of the trial type of activity. So Judge Walker allowed the plaintiffs in the case a very wide range of discovery so that they subpoenaed millions of documents from the from the defendants, including little old me. I think we talked about this. So Judge Walker allowed them to subpoena all kinds of documents having to do with people's motives for passing Prop 8 or for running the campaign. And both the Ninth Circuit and the Supreme Court said that that was completely improper and overturned it. And then there was the question of whether the proceeding should be shown on video, which is completely unprecedented in federal cases. And Judge Walker did all kinds of things to try to make it so it was legal for him to do that. But in fact, he just trampled over the established procedures for changing that particular procedure and having things not on camera. And once again, the Ninth Circuit and the Supreme Court overturned him. So they obviously have some doubts about his judgment in this situation. And add to that the fact that Judge Walker permitted in his courtroom a whole parade of witnesses whose only purpose was really to say that the Christian religion is against homosexuality, therefore Christians are prima facie biased against homosexuals, and therefore anything done by Christians is suspect, is automatically suspect. Well, if he's going to say a thing like that or allow a thing like that to be given the cover of law, which he basically did by allowing that in his courtroom, then for him as an openly gay man to stand there and pretend that he's objective, that is really, really hard to take. And I think that a lot of people are going to be very unhappy when he does the inevitable of overturning Prop 8. I think there's no doubt that's what he's going to do. But I think the fact is the man has disgraced his office, and he should have recused himself if he couldn't be more objective than what he has shown himself to be in these behaviors.
Okay. Some would be shocked to hear that you believe he will and that it's inevitable that Prop 8 would be overturned, given the fact that the California voters could not have been clearer in their will on this thing.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, the California voters approved Proposition 8 by 53-47%, which is the same margin by which Barack Obama was anointed the Messiah. You know, if you just look at the percentages, so it's not, that doesn't count as a close race ordinarily, and yet the advocates of same-sex marriage are so sure of themselves and so unwilling to really engage the opposition in honest debate that that they believe that the only possible reason somebody could vote yes on Prop 8 is bias and prejudice. They don't understand that there are actually reasons that somebody might be think that same-sex marriage is a bad idea. Reasons like that redefining marriage amounts to redefining parenthood, and that redefining marriage means that we're going to basically undermine the biological principle for determining who parents are, who count as parents of the child, and so on. There are a whole bunch of things that really are at stake in this that a lot of people can disagree about. And so for them to be saying that there's nothing here but prejudice is absurd on its face. And Judge Walker has allowed that to go forward, and it should have been cut off. You know, so, most of what was presented in the trial phase was simply not relevant to any possible constitutional issue that, that people might have had. And so, therefore, it is surprising, but I would be shocked, actually, if Judge Walker does not overturn it, because he has signaled his intention so strongly. It would just be a huge surprise to everybody if he said, oh, well, never mind, you know, Prop 8 stands. I just don't expect that he'll do that. I think that's the right outcome, and I think that ultimately that will be sustained at the Supreme Court, but I don't think Judge Walker's going to say that.
When do we expect a decision?
You know, I honestly don't know, Todd. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Then, if it's overturned, it sounds like you're saying this will go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will say that the voters have spoken, that Prop 8 will be finally upheld.
It will go. I believe the procedure is that it will first go to the Ninth Circuit Court, and then from the Ninth Circuit Court to the Supreme Court. And both sides have pretty much vowed to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I expect. I, there are some things that could happen between now and then that would change that. But I think that's what all the court watchers are expecting at this point, Todd.
With only 30 seconds, are others watching what happens in California, taking notes and carefully planning for similar things in other states?
Oh, I'm sure everybody's watching. I mean, you know, look, the main thing to see about this is that if Proposition 8 is overturned, that means we will have same-sex marriage in the whole country, because what it means is the court will be finding that there's a federal right to same-sex marriage. And if there's a federal right to same-sex marriage, then it doesn't matter what your state constitution says. It doesn't matter what the voters of your state said. You will have same-sex marriage whether you like it or not. So it's absolutely everybody's watching this case to see what happens.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder and director of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities. And she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You'll find a link to the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, when we come back, we've got audio open lines. We're going to play an ABC News story, the story you may have heard, maybe you haven't. A man divorced from his wife took his daughter to be baptized in a Roman Catholic church. His wife disapproved. He didn't ask her permission. She got a restraining order, a judge to issue an order saying no more exposure to any religion except for hers, which is Judaism, just so happens to be Judaism. He violated that order by taking his daughter again to a Catholic church with the media watching. Would you have done the same if you were in his shoes? It's audio open lines after this. 1-877-623-MYIE. Your general reaction to that story. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, February the 16th.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good Theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find Good Theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.